This is Logan Sekula. We have vice presidential debate analysis plus breaking news. President Trump says the virtual debate is a waste of time.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I heard that the commission a little while ago changed the debate style, and that's not acceptable to us. I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. And then they cut you off whenever they want.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So you just learned this morning?
Yeah, we learned it the same way you learned it. They called up 2 minutes ago, and it was announced.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to the one and only flag-waving, God-praising, trail-blazing, heck-raising online good time. It's the Logan Sekulow reprogrammed takeover of Jay Sekulow Live for today. You know, Will, we got to come on and do debate coverage last time, and today we're back to do VP debate coverage.
Right.
I feel like they sub us in at this time every time because, you know, we know you love our debate coverage, but we're also talking about the breaking news that was just announced a few hours ago, Will. This morning we woke up to news that the next presidential debate, which is supposed to happen in, what, a week?
Yeah, October 15th, so actually a week from today is when it's scheduled for.
A week from today. Was going to go virtual. Obviously, this in wake of President Trump testing positive for COVID-19. And quickly, within an hour or so of that being announced, President Trump said that ain't happening.
That's right. He called in to Fox News and said that he was not going to participate. In fact, he said, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. And I have to kind of agree. I feel like part of the style of a debate when you have the two candidates able to get up there and challenge each other directly, even though our technology has come very far, I mean, we're able to connect multiple studios with direct connections and high-speed connections, but there's always a slight delay. I think it would really hurt the format of a debate trying to pull that off remotely.
I get it. I also understand. I can understand both sides of this one, but I do think it is... would be hard to do the virtual debate, hard to do that specific style of a debate, even as a town hall debate, because like you said, there is always a delay. If you've ever watched anyone on the news, on Fox or however they're doing a live hit, they're always talking on top of each other. There's always someone not hearing the other person in their ear. It's never perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And even our studio here is not perfect. There's always sometimes going to be a glitch here and there. And we don't know exactly how they had this set up. There was no information really released on what a virtual debate
right. They just
meant.
Said they're going to participate from separate remote locations.
Yeah.
They would have to get approval to do a style change because they agreed to the rules and this was going to be the town hall.
Right.
And town hall typically infers that there's people asking questions from the audience. It just sets up a lot of problems to potentially happen that I think could cause more distraction from the campaign than is really good at this point.
Yeah, for either sides. I don't see President Trump really enjoying this. And I also don't see Joe Biden. I mean, look, we saw a lot of issues when he did his at-home campaign events.
Right.
Where there were delays, the teleprompter would go down, something would happen. That happened continually to Joe Biden. It would probably happen again to President Trump. I think we have to be careful in deciding that. But I also have to say, if there's going to be a debate, there should be some concern. Obviously, again, he tested positive for COVID-19 a little over a week ago, or right at a week ago. So, you know, I kind of can see how the election or the debate commission decided this, but how about get people involved who are actually going to be involved in this debate? I want to hear from you, and we're going to do VP debate analysis when we get back. Give us a call, though, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. I want to know what you think about the virtual debate idea, but I also want to know your thoughts on last night's vice presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. It was a pretty interesting night. Hit a lot of the topics. And look, I think we can all say a breath of fresh air compared to 1 week ago. So, I mean, there was that. We can bipartisanly agree. It was a bit more what we're used to. And it was a little bit of a breath of fresh air. We get back ready to discuss that and a lot more. We got a big announcement for Bald Beagle supporters later on in the show. We'll be right back on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover of Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow with Will Haynes. This is the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover at Jay Sekulow Live. If you don't know about the Reprogram, show Will and I do each and every day on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, however you get your digital media. We are there, and we're there every day talking about breaking news. We also provide a little bit of levity here and there. Tomorrow we have an Eddie Van Halen tribute episode coming up with Michael Sweet from Striper. We're going to have a great show, but today we're talking about the vice presidential debate, as well as obviously the now looming virtual debate and what happens there when President Trump has pushed back on it. But let's start talking about this debate. Last night ran a little late. We were both texting each other going, when's this thing going to start? Usually pretty prompt. I think it was about 8:05 that actually got going. Plexiglass between the two. And once they sat down, you didn't really notice, right, yeah, because it wasn't in front of them. It wasn't a bubble. It was just a divider, a double divider. Fine. Didn't bother me at all. And then they got right into it. And Will, like you said, we were talking about this. We just showed the clips online of the court packing stuff. We'll get to that because, again, it was sort of a night where I think the debate went well, but it was a night where some lies were told, and it was a night where some questions were avoided, some answers were avoided. And it kicked off with an interesting one regarding the coronavirus.
That's right. Yeah. So the moderator, Susan Page, who is from USA Today, she led off asking about coronavirus and the response, what the Biden-Harris administration would do differently. And obviously that was on a lot of people's minds. We knew that that was going to be kind of the leading topic and prevailing theme of the debate, since the VP candidates were there and President Trump had tested positive.
Yep.
And so we knew that was going to be an issue. They bring it up, and the tactic that Kamala Harris decided to go with, and this is just a few minutes into the debate, and she decides to go and perpetrate a Democratic talking point lie that has been debunked many times by many sources, and we'll get into that. But let's go ahead and play Bite 50, because this was early on in the debate. Like I said, her first uninterrupted two-minute period, she decided to go with this line, which is frankly a lie. Let's go ahead and play it.
And they knew what was happening, and they didn't tell you. Can you imagine if you knew on January 28th, as opposed to March 13th, what they knew, what you might have done to prepare? They knew and they covered it up. The president said it was a hoax. They minimize the seriousness
of it. All right, so let's stop there. That was obviously Kamala Harris saying that it was a hoax.
And that was used early on as
it was an ad
that was selectively edited. There were reporters that reported on it that then later apologized for the way they reported on it. What the president actually said was that the way the Democrats were railing against his response was their new hoax, that it was their new Russia collusion theory, that right. The president's not doing anything to help you with coronavirus.
Not calling the actual virus
right. He didn't
a hoax.
Say the coronavirus was a hoax. As a matter of fact, when they were trying to impeach him, when he was in the middle of that, he was the one that brought it up at the State of the Union. He was the one that was trying to shut down travel, and they were saying, no, let's still have our Chinese New Year festivals. You can be outside in the streets all together. There's going to be no issue here in these right. large festivals. So he wasn't calling it a hoax. He was saying their minimizing of his administration's response was the hoax.
Yeah, and just taken out of context and blown up. And like you said, even Snopes, all these others have said,
Snopes,
no, he didn't say this.
Snopes, who we don't typically run to as like, because they always have a seemingly
bias.
Liberal bias on these political issues. They even rated it as, it's a very misleading Associated Press said it's a misleading claim because here's what he actually said. Washington Post, CNN even said, no, that's not what he said. Here's what he said. So it's just once again showing that she decided to lead the debate off with dishonesty.
Yeah, and the State of the Union was February 4th.
Right.
When the first time a lot of people maybe heard about it. We were all talking about it.
Yeah, right, because there were the cruise ships, there were things, we knew that this thing was happening.
Sure, we didn't necessarily know the severity of it or how it was going to end up, but it was a talking point, and that just kicked off the night. And look, again, I have to at least say this was a debate that was reminiscent of a debate we'd have any election year, which compared to last Tuesday was a little bit of a breath of fresh air to actually hear them go back and forth and have some debate style. Now, I think there is a bit of concern on the moderator. I think she did a good job, but that she would ask a question, both candidates on either side would divert that question, as you do in a debate, and go, hey, I want to go back to here. I want to do that. Let's talk about this. But never the follow-up. Never right. the, I want you to answer that question. Some of them were questions that we talked about. I hate the hypotheticals.
Yes.
And you could tell both of them did not like that, specifically the one towards the end
and they
about their age.
They both did not answer. And it was kind of a gotcha question. It
right.
was, do you have an agreement with the president or with the presidential candidate, in the case of Joe Biden, that if you're to be elected, what would happen and how you would hand it off if there were something to happen? Like, it's such a weird hypothetical, but also there's government framework for that. Like, the fact that
we all kind of know how that works.
The moderator decided that was a appropriate question. I think it's a little demeaning and not really the best questioning from a moderator, but they both avoided it. They both decided, hey, you know what? We're not going to answer that. We're going to go into other talking points here instead.
For sure. And we're going to talk about some of those. We're going to talk about the ones that are important to you, the life issue, or we're going to talk about maybe some Israel content, because all of it came up. A lot of it came up. But I do think we should probably hear from Mike Pence, his response about how President Trump feels and how he feels about the coronavirus. I think it's bite three.
Our nation has gone through a very challenging time this year. But I want the American people to know that from the very first day, President Donald Trump has put the health of America first. Before, there were more than 5 cases in the United States, all people who had returned from China. President Donald Trump did what no other American president had ever done, and that was he suspended all travel from China, the second largest economy in the world. Now, Senator Joe Biden opposed that decision. He said it was xenophobic and hysterical. But I can tell you, having led the White House Coronavirus Task Force, that that decision alone by President Trump bought us invaluable time to stand up the greatest national mobilization since World War II.
And that was from Mike Pence. So you get a little bit of a contrast of what happened there, how the debate sort of unfolded. Now, maybe some props to the moderator, Will. You just told me a fact while you're playing that clip that, you know, there's always a lot of discussion of who got more stage time, who got more speaking time, air time. they came in pretty dead heat.
That's right. And I actually saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, Mike Pence is getting so much more time.
Yeah.
And the liberal cesspool that Twitter can be. But speaking time, and this is according to CNN. So, you know, you'd think that they would try to find a disparity if there was one. But Kamala Harris had 36 minutes and 24 seconds of speaking time. And Vice President Mike Pence had 36 minutes and 27 seconds. So just a 3-second differential, which is
a couple breaths,
unknowable. You know. you wouldn't know that.
So you actually have to give it up to the moderator, because that she said she wanted to give them as equal time as possible, and clearly she did.
And there was even one time where the moderator said, you can respond, but not as at great length, which was some people called out, well, that doesn't seem right. Why can't Kamala Harris have his equal time? Well, what it goes to show is that she was keeping track of it, and they did have roughly equal time.
Yeah, and the debate commission, I'm sure, after last week's disaster, decided to slap the wrist a little bit and say, we got to get better. We got to get better. And clearly they did. Again, I think these candidates are a little different as well. Your vice presidential candidates, and typically this is the case, are a little bit more calm. Now, typically, these don't necessarily swing an election one way or other. I do personally think, and look, I would say this, take your own political views out of it, because your political views do matter, obviously, to how you're going to interpret a winner or a loser of a debate, because both of them hit talking points I think both sides wanted to hear. To me, Mike Pence came out as a much stronger debater and much stronger in general, just came out and was actually having a debate. Kamala Harris, I think, had a good night. I don't think she had a bad night by any means. But I think that there was a clear winner to this. And even the news outlets immediately were kind of even saying that. Even if you disagreed with what they had to say, that it was kind of a dead heat. And if I was going to give it to anyone, I would give it to Mike Pence.
Well, and some of the networks were even trying to make excuses for Kamala Harris, which were a little bit disingenuous. And I think we'll get into that later. But if you're trying to explain why someone didn't have a debate performance in a certain way, then you're trying to make an excuse for what you thought they should have done. That just kind of shows that you thought that they weren't the winner. But I do think that it shows Vice President Pence, he has a career in he was a radio host and then was a politician, a governor, a congressman. Yeah.
You don't really give him that a lot of times. I have to say that there was a lot of conversation online about, you know, whether we could see a 2024 Mike Pence. And I don't think that was happening much before last night.
Even after the convention, when he gave a very strong speech, but very it wasn't showy. It wasn't in your face.
Hey, when we get back, two things are going to happen. I'm going to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll slow it down for you. 1-800-684-3110. And we have a big announcement for you guys who've been waiting for content for Bald Beagle, for your kids, for your grandkids. New American history videos coming your way. And we have a big announcement when we get back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow subbing in, doing the Logan Sekulow reprogram show Will and I do each and every day on YouTube. You can find it there. It's also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Logan Sekulow in all those places. It'll pop right up. We appreciate you subscribe. We appreciate you joining us. You can also join the Logan Sekulow reprogram Facebook group where we chat along with all of our listeners or a lot of our listeners about some of your favorite topics, and we release exclusive videos. It's a lot of fun on that Facebook group. Now, you just saw, if you're watching online, a video we did for a new project we have called Bald Beagle. That's right, Bald Beagle, not Bald Eagle, Bald Beagle. It's a new YouTube channel specifically for kids. It's where U.S. history will be presented in fun, exciting ways. It preserves American history in, again, a really entertaining way. Now, we've been working on this. We did a big fundraising drive for a couple days to get the resources to create the first set of videos. And we are proud to announce that today, right now, right as this show launched, we just put up our first video called George Washington Loved to Dance. And you may say, Logan, that's insane. Why would you do that as your first video? Well, this is actually a George Washington informational song. Lots of great educational content, lots of great facts and figures. But the chorus and the hook is that George Washington loved to dance. And you do that so we can make these people human and also get it to relate to kids. And it's a true fact. He did love to dance. So we created a dance song. Our amazing team put this together. We got the puppets out. We did the whole deal. And I think we're going to show a little bit of a preview. And again, you can find this on baldbeagle.com, but go specifically to our YouTube channel. Subscribe, Bald Beagle. It's available right now. Here is just a little sample. Then we're going to take your phone calls. Of George Washington, loved to dance.
Who can tell me a fact about George Washington?
He was president?
He was our first president. We owe him a lot. Did you know that George Washington loved to dance?
What? Come on.
George Washington loved to dance.
Born in February 1732, someday he'd be the one they choose to run the red, white, and blue. You've seen his face, cause it's placed on the green $1. George Washington, our number one first founding father. The colonies were in need of someone who could lead them. Washington was the one to bring that taste of freedom. With George on board, the USA had a fighting chance. A revolutionary man who also loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
Gotta keep it moving with this dance revolution.
That is George Washington Loved to Dance on Bald Beagle, available right now. It is about 3.5 minutes, and we're going to be coming up with new content that's also going to supplement this. You're going to see a blog launch about George Washington. You're going to see a more informational video that's coming in the coming weeks. And then as well as content that's not necessarily only related to people and historical figures, but also how government works, how elections work. We're actually working on a video right now that hopefully will explain to you and our kids how the Electoral College works and was founded. So those are some of the new content you're going to see. You can support the work of Bald Beagle, which again, you make a donation to the ACLJ, but it's allocated to our productions through baldbeagle.com. Baldbeagle.com. You go there, you can watch it, you can see it, and you can, again, subscribe, obviously, to our YouTube channel, but you can also make a donation, and we appreciate that as we plan to kick out these videos a lot. Show it to your kids. I'd love to hear their thoughts. They can be honest. Feedback about what they think. My kids love it, so I hope your kids do, too. They're watching it on repeat. They got a little bit of an early access, Will, and they're really enjoying it. Again, that's our new YouTube channel, Bald Beagle, where you're going to be able to find engaging, educational, entertainment content about United States history and how government works and about the core values and really preserving those core values that a lot of our listeners I know have.
You want to go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Let's
if you're not
Sean.
You're just dancing.
Yeah.
You haven't just got the dance bug. Let's go to Sean. Yeah, that's right. Where he's calling from.
Sean from Connecticut on line 3. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live and the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I was
very interested in what you were talking about the going to a virtual debate. I thought that was very interesting. And my one comment would be, I was thinking about it with me, my girlfriend and I were trying to figure out why would it be to their benefit to do that. I mean, outside the fact that the president is, possibly contagious, but, you saw what they had going there for the setup. And I said, I think what it is I think that they would love to have a teleprompter. Biden could use a teleprompter to answer these questions. This would allow his debate strategist or his aides to send him the answers via to these debate questions on the fly.
Look, that's not that's not that far-fetched of a theory. I think that you could obviously have that kind of interference, if you will, if it's done virtually, specifically if it's done virtually and controlled by the candidate themselves.
Right.
You could have teleprompters, you could have earpieces, you could have all those things that we've talked about that'd be much more easily accessible, almost to your point, Sean, that why wouldn't they? At that point, why wouldn't Joe Biden have it? Why wouldn't President Trump? Why wouldn't you have your aides be able to help feed you these answers? I think that's a big point. That's a good point. Beyond just the risk of COVID-19, which is real and it's there. That's an interesting point of view, Will, that there could be some interference that would not necessarily be fair to the American people.
Yeah, and I think it would bring a cloud over the presidential debates and their legitimacy, which isn't helpful to our society. The purpose of them, of the debates in general, is to showcase the two different leading candidates for a president and their different views. It allows them to exchange in their back and forth about their ideas and their views and their platforms. And I just think of all, not just like the live shots that you see on the news or something where there's a debate and it gets heated and there's a delay, but I even think of some of the hearings that the U.S. Senate has done and some of the senators not being able to connect properly, and there just being a lot of issues that really degrade the quality of interaction between that. And I think of the witnesses in some of the Senate hearings that have been able to dodge questions much more easily. I think it's a disservice to the American people if we're using the debate stage and dumbing it down to be something that's not going to be up to the quality that the American people really expect from those.
Yeah, I think you can't just throw together a debate. I understand you're wanting to do three debates. It's kind of part of the tradition and making sure that we're able to have more presidential debates, but
what did I say after that last debate last week?
You didn't think there'd be another debate?
I said I don't think there'll be another one.
Well, we'll see. I hope there is another one, to be honest. I think they both need a bit of redemption from that debate. So I would like to see another debate that's maybe a little bit more put together and maybe a better moderator. As we said, I think Chris Wallace failed miserably and is at least the big portion to blame for this. I did want to clarify something. Oh, we got something?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you said you wanted a better moderator. Yeah. Well, the town hall debate moderator is from C-SPAN, Steve Scully, and he was an intern for Joe Biden's
right.
Senate office. So maybe I think he's getting a better moderator for it.
Yeah, maybe someone needs to make better choices here. I did want to clarify because I saw some comments coming in. Bald Beagle content is 100% free. You don't have to subscribe to Netflix or join any sort of streaming service. Right now, it's all available on our YouTube channel. It'll be available in other outlets, so maybe you'll be able to find it on some other places, but we're going to make sure that content is free for you and your kids. It's part of the work here at the ACLJ, which is why we need your support. At ACLJ.org, you can see all the great content we do, but you can also check out specifically Bald Beagle, again, that video, George Washington Loved to Dance, packed with tons of knowledge about George Washington, our first president, is available right now on baldbeagle.com. or on our YouTube channel. We'll be right back with more, and we're going to take some more phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. When we get back on the Logan Seculo Reprogram Takeover, Jay Seculo Live. See you in just a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome back to the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover at Jay Sekulow Live. Join my buddy Will Haynes, who we do a show each and every day. The Logan Sekulow Reprogram, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's at youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. You can find us there. I post new content almost every day. We do reprograms pretty much every day. Again, it's kind of a mix, variety of politics, news, entertainment, comedy. We cover it all on the reprogram. But Will, let's jump right back into the vice presidential debate. There was some fireworks.
That's right.
In regards to China. And I think this was an interesting kind of back and forth on the trade deals and all of that between, again, Kamala Harris and Mike Pence.
So as you see it in a traditional debate, the candidates try to distinguish themselves against the other. And Senator Harris had a line that she kind of tried to get in there against Vice President Pence about the trade war China. Yeah. So let's go ahead and play 46 so we can hear how she set this up.
The vice president earlier referred to it as part of what he thinks is an accomplishment, the president's trade war with China. You lost that trade war. You lost it.
So that's Kamala Harris's big line. You lost the trade war with China. Clearly, again, these are lines that they brought up that were everyone preps. I'm not going out to people prepping for debates. I did think that the more longer form comments that Mike Pence gave kind of gave him that edge. That seemed to be the way he dominated, though the time was different. He would sort of break it down.
Right.
So let's hear now from, do you want to hear from Mike Pence?
Yeah, this is from the vice president. This is Byte 48, and it's his response to Senator Harris's attack there.
Look, lost the trade war with China. Joe Biden never fought it. Joe Biden has been a cheerleader for communist China through over the last several decades. And again, Senator Harris, you're entitled to your opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. When Joe Biden was vice president, we lost 200,000 manufacturing jobs. And President Obama said they were never coming back. He said we needed a magic wand to bring them back. In our first 3 years after we cut taxes, rolled back regulation, unleashed American energy, this administration saw 500,000 manufacturing jobs created.
I have to say one thing about the moderator. The only thing she knew way to interrupt them was to just say, thank you, Mr. Vice President, or thank you, Senator Harris. One time calling her just Kamala, which was interesting.
And she apologized.
There was a back and forth
that
was real kind of bizarre. But that happened over and over again. It did have a bit of that, you know, school teacher kind of vibe to it, where it was like, all right, settle down, boys.
Well, I think, and this is some observations I saw people making on the internet as well, that it was almost like she was trying very hard to not be Chris Wallace, that said things like, I'm the moderator, I'm taking
it. She would just
back.
Say thank you.
Right. She would just be calm and try to stay within the boundaries and keep time, but it also then came across a little goofy the way she did it.
I do have to say, there were lines that stuck out. There were lines I saw posted a lot, and obviously I saw that fly posted over and over again. If that's what you took out of this, God bless you. I hope you're paying attention actually to what they had to say. But the line, Will, that we just played, you're entitled to your opinion, you're not entitled to your own facts, is one that I've seen kind of on repeat in a good way. I think that is a good line, especially coming off of you lost the trade war, and then boom, hit her with something that that really I think could sting, and that was impressive.
I thought a lot of Vice President Pence's comeback lines or little one-liners were very Reagan-esque. How Ronald Reagan, when he would debate, he had a lot of those lines, like the famous one where he said, I won't discriminate against my opponent for his youth, and I won't hold it against him. Yep. Things like that. A lot of those seem to come out of Vice President Pence's debate style, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting.
With that put away, we are going to talk about in the next segment some of the topics that are really important to you, our listeners. We know that. We're talking about the issues of life. We're going to maybe talk about Israel. We're going to talk about some of those topics that came up, and they all did come up, and I'm happy they did, because in the last debate, they were breezed over, but this one, vice presidential debate, clear-cut answers and clear-cut different ways of thinking. We're going to talk about that, and I want your feedback. We're also going to talk a little bit about the pro-life evangelicals for Biden that were announced and how you can deal with that situation. We'll be right back on the reprogram after this.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the reprogram. This is Logan Seculo, subbing in for my dad for Jay Seculo Live, my brother. Well, we're going to jump right into this. I think we're going to talk about some of the topics that are really important to our listeners. Let's kick it off with life. Obviously, a life barely came up in the last debate, and I criticized that heavily, that it was brought up very quickly and very much put aside. I was in discussion with Amy Coney Barrett, but now they were able to elaborate, and I do think there is a clear difference between what will be a Biden presidency or a Trump presidency in their ideas of being pro-life and anti-abortion. Let's hear it from themselves. I'll let you guys make up your mind what you think, Will.
And the moderator actually brought this question up. Yep. She asked about if Roe versus Wade were to be overturned, and she even brings up the fact that it goes back to the states.
It was an interesting question. It was like, if you were still the governor, would you then flip it? And I honestly, I didn't mind Mike Pence's response to that.
But
we'll get there.
As earlier in the debate, as we mentioned, they used the first portion of their time when asked the question, both Senator Harris and Vice President Pence, to talk about a previous topic. So the questions were asked. They talked about the Supreme Court for a while, and then they got to the issue of Roe versus Wade. And this is Senator Harris's response first. This is Bite 72.
The issues before us couldn't be more serious. There's the issue of choice, and I will always fight for a woman's right to make a decision about her own body. It should be her decision and not that of Donald Trump and the vice president, Michael Pence.
Yeah, so that's a very clear-cut answer.
Right.
And I was hoping we'd get a very clear-cut answer from Mike Pence, and that we did. So let's hear from Mike Pence.
That's Bite 73. Let's hear from the vice president.
I couldn't be more proud to serve as vice president to a president who stands without apology for the sanctity of human life. I'm pro-life. I don't apologize for it. And this is another one of those cases where there's such a dramatic contrast. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris support taxpayer funding of abortion all the way up to the moment of birth. Mm-hmm. Late-term abortion. They want to increase funding to Planned Parenthood of America. Now, for our part, I would never presume how Judge Amy Coney Barrett would rule on the Supreme Court of the United States, but we'll continue to stand strong for the right to life.
I don't think you'd have a clearer cut answer than what you got from Vice President Pence, an answer that a lot of pro-lifers like myself were waiting for and wanting, and honestly wanting from President Trump as well, and didn't necessarily get the response we wanted. I believe in pro-life, but this is the kind of pro-life rhetoric that we're looking for, Will. I was excited to hear this. I applauded and by myself sitting there, because this is a strong language. Like he said, he's not apologizing for his pro-life views, and that's something that I think a lot of us have struggled with. When social media, if you post something pro-life, you get a lot of pushback. It's become a hot topic again. And I'm glad to see someone like the vice president say, no, we are proud of our pro-life beliefs.
Well, and that's something that we've seen rise up this week in particular.
Yeah.
There's a group of leaders within the faith community, within specifically they claim to be the evangelical pro-life for Biden movement.
Evangelicals for Biden. It's a new group that was announced just over the last few days. If you want a real good breakdown of it, Will and I did about 25 minutes on it yesterday on the Logan Seculo reprogram. You can find that on your podcast players, or you can find it on YouTube. I went pretty deep into this. You can hear about the people that they have supporting. Again, these are kind of, I'll put quote-unquote evangelical pro-life leaders. You do have some names that you'd recognize, but a lot of them are more the position you'd recognize. Like this guy who's on the board of Christianity Today. This is Billy Graham's granddaughter, but not the one that you remember from speaking. A lot of more liberal-leaning seminaries. And my big problem with this, and when you just heard the difference between Vice President Pence and Kamala Harris, is when you start saying you are pro-life, if you just said I'm an evangelical supporter of Joe Biden, I can kind of deal with that. I can at least sort of respect. I don't respect it. I respect your opinions and views, and at least you're not out there waving the pro-life flag. But if you're going to be out there and you're going to call yourself a pro-life evangelical, but you feel like you need to make a statement and endorse the only candidate, really, with the most aggressive pro-choice and pro-abortion point of view on the ticket, I just don't trust it. I don't believe it. And I think it's a really sad state of affairs where this is something within the church that's happening, where the pro-life movement, where the sanctity of life and the definition of life that was originally something that I believe in most realms of Christianity and evangelicalism was pretty defined, that we've seen in recent months, maybe in the last year even, things start to flip and flip aggressively to where you can no longer, you can hold these views somehow, but support murder if you want to believe. If you believe that abortion is murder, which is what pro-lifers do, what you're saying is murder is not the number one thing that I care about. I can get fine with murder, but these other things are more important.
Well, and to piggyback off of that, what the pro-life evangelicals for Joe Biden even said was, there's a lot of things that kill. There's smoking kills,
yeah, right.
And it was all this weird watering down of what abortion actually is, especially if you're someone who is a pro-life subscriber to.
Yeah, you're someone who is labeling yourself pro-life, and look, you can pretend that that label has been adjusted, but again, if you heard my maybe my rant yesterday, it hasn't. Everyone knows what pro-life means. You can't all of a sudden turn that and flip it. I'm also sick of the narrative that somehow the pro-life community, the anti-abortion community, only cares about children when they're in the womb.
That's a liberal hoax.
It is a hoax and a lie and a false narrative that you've been preached. Look at all your community groups. Look at all of your church groups. Who do you think are out there feeding the hungry and are helping people and doing all of these things? This is not just, these people are also pro-life activists because people do care. That is some ridiculous point of view that's from maybe a fringe group that somehow took a hold of what's going on in your modern church. And I feel for you and I pray for you because I think you're being misguided and misled to believe, again, a gigantic lie.
And we saw the fruit of that lie with the nomination of Judge Barrett. When she was put forward by President Trump to be the next justice on the Supreme Court, the left immediately attacked her for her adoptions,
right,
of children from Haiti. And what the proof is that someone that's pro-life is also someone that will adopt, that will support those causes, that will help bring up life, not just while in the womb, but throughout life, from the cradle to the grave, the entire expanse of life. That is what a real pro-life activist cares about. And what we saw was the fruit of the left when Judge Barrett was nominated, was they just so don't understand it that their first instinct was to attack her family and to somehow, in a weird, bizarro world, consider her racist in a weird right. way for it's adopting disgusting. Children from Haiti.
It's absolutely disgusting and horrendous and hopefully condemned amongst all people that you shouldn't go after somebody for that. Now, that does get us to a political talking point, which came up last night, which was on court packing, which I think is something we haven't heard a ton about. And all of a sudden, it's just like the pro-life movement being flipped on its head. It feels like court packing has become a top topic. And mainly it is because clearly Kamala Harris did not want to answer that question.
She did not.
And no. avoided it at all costs. Even so much as, you want to talk about court packing? And then didn't talk about court packing.
She had a swerve. And actually, we have a little bit of time. We can't probably play the whole bite, but let's get to 75. So Vice President Pence essentially set up this entire narrative, calling back to how Joe Biden refused to answer the question
about quick what court packing is from this point of view.
Court packing would be that they get Congress to legislatively add members of the Supreme Court.
So the nine justices, of which we've had set for over 100 years.
Long time.
Your entire lifetime and probably your grandparents and great-grandparents' lifetime, that would be adjusted so there could be more liberals on the Supreme Court. I mean, that's it. That's the fact.
And it was shut down when FDR tried to do it. Yeah. He tried to expand the court, and he didn't get away with it, but that was his goal. But here's where how Harris responded to the question about packing the Supreme Court from Pence. Let's play 75 real quick.
I'm so glad we went through a little history lesson. Let's do that a little more. In 1864...
Well, I'd like you to answer the question.
No, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. Okay. In 1864, one of the, I think, political heroes, certainly of the president, I assume of you also, Mr. Vice President, is Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham Lincoln was up for re-election. And it was 27 days before the election.
That's fine. You understand that he didn't nominate somebody. He said, did she answer the question about court pocket packing? No, specifically avoided. There you go. Specifically avoided and brought it up. Sorry, the band upstairs just kicked in. It got a little loud.
Writing a new Bald Beagle
tune. Yeah, I know.
Right
now. That's the new Electoral College song. It's a bit of a rocker.
Yeah.
When we get back, we're taking more phone calls. I want to hear from you. It actually be our last segment of this day of the reprogrammed takeover of Jay Sekulow Live, and I want to hear from you. I like to take the last segments, and I want to hear from the people. We got a few lines open. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support.
We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Logan Secular Reprogram Takeover, Jay Secular Live. Thank you all for watching and listening. Make sure you follow Will and I each and every day on the Logan Secular Reprogram. You can find us on your favorite podcast players as well as on YouTube. Primarily, people like to watch us, so come watch us and enjoy yourself. And we've also put great clips up as well that have gotten hundreds of thousands of views, and we appreciate all of the support. We're going to jump to the phones, though. A lot of people have been on hold for a long time. So who you want to go to first?
Let's go to Veronica on line one in California. Veronica, thank you for holding, and you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to comment on the debates last night. I think that Pence won. I think that he was just very cool, calm, and collected. And like you said earlier in the show, it was definitely a breath of fresh air from the presidential debate. And I think Kamala Harris is just extremely disrespectful. You know, there's memes everywhere with her faces and with her "I'm speaking," you know, quotes. And I feel like if the only thing social media could have gotten out of the debates is the fly on Pence's head, you know, obviously not focusing on the bigger issues, or maybe, you know, the liberals don't want to admit that he won.
I agree with you, Veronica. I thought the same thing. When every fly post I saw, look, a lot came from friends and people who even are more conservative. It made me cringe a little knowing that that was maybe going to be the takeaway from this debate. Because other than a fly, which, by the way, if you've never had a fly land on your head, then you've never
Michael
spent
Bloomberg
any time.
Michael Bloomberg had one during
Obama did.
It was during the convention this year.
Flies happen. Stuff right. happens. But, you know, beyond that, obviously, it was very stark on his white hair. So, I mean, it was a moment. I understand there's humor and comedy. I'm sure we'll see it on SNL this weekend. But I think you're right in the fact that the sort of tone was a little odd. The I'm speaking. Again, it came off very belittling. And again, I didn't really care for the tone in general from Kamala Harris. And I think she overall did a okay job. I don't think she did a bad job. But if it was going to be something to make her more appealing to everyone, I think sometimes maybe the lawyer showed in her.
Well, and I thought that she was almost trying to recall in everyone's mind and create this image that Mike Pence, with his tone, was just the same tone as the presidential debate.
Right.
She immediately was starting to say things like, I'm speaking, trying to almost create this
create the
optics
chaos. Yeah.
That there was chaos, but there wasn't. He was very poised, and he almost had a humility about him when he would say certain things that I think it didn't work. It created this jarring optic instead of creating the optic that I think she was going for. But it was definitely a tactic. She had this plan to create that I'm speaking, almost make her look like maybe the victim in some of the exchanges, like that he wasn't going to let her talk, much like the president they tried to claim wouldn't let Joe Biden talk. But it really was kind of equal. She would cut off him a few times,
yeah.
But he didn't have that same reaction that she used, and
together.
I thought it was interesting.
It was. Let's go ahead and keep going on the phone calls, because then we're running out of time. We got some people who have been waiting.
Yeah, we're going to go to Don in California on line two. Don, you're on the air.
Thanks for holding.
Well, hi, Logan. Will, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. First of all, I hope everything's going good with your families and everybody going through all this craziness.
Yeah, everybody's good. Thank you, though.
I just wanted to throw my two cents in as far as the possible virtual debate that may be coming up. I'm really hoping that the president takes advantage of that and decides to join it, primarily because I think it's really going to give him the opportunity to really get his message across. Those of us that support him, you know, we get a lot of our information from you guys and from, you know, from other sources. But there's so many people that are just getting their news from, you know, mainstream media.
Sure.
They're not seeing all the good things that the president's doing. They're not, you know, especially like, you know, you guys were just talking about the pro-life issues. They don't know about the Born Alive, you know, act that he just put through. They don't know about all these positive things that he's really doing. So it would really give him a good chance, without the distractions that kind of came from the last debate, it would give him a real good chance just to get his message across.
Sure.
And just let all the millions of people that are going to be tuning in probably have the first chance of really seeing that, you know, all the good things that he's been able to accomplish in these years.
Don, I don't necessarily disagree with you in that. I'm not saying necessarily that I think he shouldn't participate in the online debate, but I do see the trepidation. I understand the issues that could come up from it. You did bring up, but I wanted to talk about this. You brought up the Born Alive Act, and thanks to you guys who support thanks to you guys who support the work of the ACLJ and are always active on social media. That was actually the number three most linked through page on Facebook when it launched. So that's how big it was on Facebook. Period, across the board, was the third most clicked through link for the day that it was posted. So I got to, you know, really give a thanks to our listeners and viewers on Facebook, because that is unbelievable. And we really appreciate it. And obviously, it was something that touched you guys. Let's quickly jump
real quick. And then we'll go to Michelle. But okay, to his point about it could give him an opportunity to speak clearly to the American people about things like that. If the format were shifted and it weren't town hall and it was almost giving them like mini speeches.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes when the president is the most effective.
Well, they
and
could
so if they change the rules and then he's like, okay, well, this could be a benefit, I could see it playing right into what Don was saying, that it could be that. But let's go to line six, Michelle in Georgia.
Yeah, quickly, Michelle. We're running out of time, but we appreciate you calling.
Yeah, I was going to say, I totally agree with President Trump about not participating. It would have to be, boy, I don't know what they would have to do, because I'm sitting here thinking about, okay, on Zoom calls, for instance, you can mute, you know, get muted very quickly. And I'm thinking, what could they pull, you know, if they chose to, what could they pull on an online call?
I think that is the concern. Michelle, I think you're right.
Suspicious.
I think you're right. I mean, we've had Zoom calls hacked. We've had all the different things. There are so many things that could go wrong with that virtual debate. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, but again, I understand the concern. Before we wrap up, I did want to again talk to you about Bald Beagle, our new YouTube channel from the ACLJ that is specifically aimed at elementary school kids, and specifically on American history, as well as how government works, how elections work, and all those things you need to learn, all those core values. And we are maintaining it while kids are not in school, while history classes are being removed. We at the ACLJ wanted to provide more content. You've heard us talk about school choice, the school choice initiative. This is just another level of that. And we appreciate it, making entertaining and educational content for your kids, for your grandkids, maybe your kid watching right now. I know a lot of kids grew up watching Jay Sekulow Live. I know a lot of them still do. Well, right now on Bald Beagle, that's right, like the dog, Beagle, baldbeagle.com, or just go to YouTube and search Bald Beagle, and you'll see we have a YouTube channel. All the content on there right now is free. The content will remain free on Bald Beagle. We want to go to where kids are. They're on YouTube. We need your help and support. We appreciate all the resources you can help provide so we can create more and more content. The first video just went up today as this show went on the air, and hundreds of you have already watched it. It's called George Washington Love to Dance, and it's a jam-packed educational video that'll be a lot of fun and sure to be on repeat, maybe enough to drive you crazy at your house. And that's what we hope. Again, baldbeagle.com. You can give through there, but also you can watch that video or subscribe on YouTube. Tell your friends about it. This is just one of many videos coming. We're going to start kicking out videos, hopefully every couple weeks, every week, and maybe even more. And that needs your help and resources. Again, it's a donation to the ACLJ, but if you do it through baldbeagle.com, we can allocate those funds and resources for it. Until next time, if you see a storm brewing in your life, don't worry, it'll pass.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.